Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with your hosts from 970 ESPN and Steelers Nation Radio, David Todd, and from SteelersDepot.com, Dave Bryan. Just a couple of Daves chilling, talking Steelers. Now, here's Dave and Dave.
Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave. He's Dave Bryan of SteelersDepot.com, the place to get your latest and greatest Steelers information. And I'm David Todd of ESPN Pittsburgh and the Steelers Radio Network. It's Season 7, Episode 99. And Dave, good to talk to you again. Thanks to Alex for sitting in for the past couple weeks as I took a little vacation and then the start of baseball season. Now we got the start of the hockey playoffs. So busy time of year. So great job by both you guys, obviously, in kind of getting us all prepared for the draft. The site looks fantastic with all the updates you guys have done. So good work, and it's good to be back as we get a little closer here to the draft.
Was that you at the Masters wearing the 1934 throwback on 18?
That was not me on the 18th green and the bumblebee halfway up, although I have been to the Masters. I have never been around the 18th on a Sunday. But some pretty spectacular golf yesterday. But, yeah, for those who didn't see it, there's a great I'm sure you can find it on Twitter or the internet, a great shot of it. I mean, it's distinctive. So the guy knew he was going to stand out, but he's right in the middle of the crowd, kind of behind Sergio as he wins the Masters. So pretty entertaining stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. Boy, you can't miss that. There can't be too many people that wear jerseys in general to the Masters. And for the guy to wear a Ben Roethlisberger bumblebee throwback, he certainly did stick out. And speaking of number seven, Ben Roethlisberger.
Yeah, well, I know it comes as a bit of a surprise since we have been scouring the draft boards for the top quarterback the Steelers are going to take in the first round. Ben had, you know, a complete about face, and he's going to return for the 2017 season. So, obviously that changes everybody's plans, and here we go.
Yeah, I'm sure that shocked a lot of people that he was going that he announced that he's going to come back for the 2017 season. And why it took so long, I don't know. At least it happened before the draft.
Let me ask you this: did the whole thing bother you at all, or just kind of nature of the beast? And like most of us, I mean, look, you have to write about stuff like that. I mentioned it. I really pretty much ignored it from the minute on. So it didn't impact me. It doesn't really bother me. Did it annoy you at all? Because I know it probably annoyed a lot of Steelers.
To me, it's Ben being Ben. Just one other thing. It didn't surprise me, I don't think. I think maybe I was more surprised about the time of, the time it took for him to finally come out and say, look, I'm coming back. Never did I doubt that he wasn't going to come back. So, yeah, I just put this out there as Ben being Ben. And all right, let's time to move on now.
Yeah. Okay. So, and in fact, let's not waste any more time on that. But I haven't had a chance to talk about our buddy Craig Oxane. So let me get one of these out of the way. Our buddy, mortgage rates are currently at or near all-time lows, and if you're looking to buy your first home, upgrade, downsize, invest, purchase a vacation home, or refinance, contact our buddy Craig Oxane from First Advantage Mortgage, a lifelong Steeler fan and Pittsburgh native. Craig's a nationally recognized lender that would love the opportunity to help our podcast listeners. You can call Craig today at 855-961-7763. That's 855-961-7763. Email Craig at craig@blackandgoldlending or apply online at www.blackandgoldlending.com. Company NMLS 2551, NMLS 320399. Illinois Residential Mortgage Licensee, Equal Housing Lender. All right. Well, I hope Craig, with spring springing, hopefully business has been springing for Craig. Speaking of springing, Dave, we are really kind of in it now. We're 2 weeks and 3 days away from the NFL draft, and it will start on a Thursday in Philadelphia with round one, Friday rounds two and three, and then Saturday the balance of the draft, just so everybody's aware. We will have that coverage for you on ESPN Pittsburgh and the Steeler Radio Network. So I'll be hosting along with a bunch of other guys. I don't know how the time sets when I'll be on the air yet, but we have all of that stuff. But before we get into that, Dave, another little I don't even know how to phrase it. Another little dust up here between a bunch of NFL players and the NFL with with what happened over the weekend at an arm wrestling event at a casino in Vegas. And front and center, certainly in the article that I saw, the very first thing I see is a picture. And, you know, you look at guys and you think you identify them and you think you know most guys. James Harrison, pretty distinctive guy. But I had to go to the article to just confirm that it was James Harrison and Marshawn Lynch, another distinctive-looking guy. And, of course, it was. They're at an arm wrestling event in Vegas, promotional type thing. I don't know. I couldn't really tell from the article if they were actually participating. But the comment from the NFL head of, I don't know if it was the head of security or who it was like, this is clearly in violation of the agreement that we have that you're not allowed to appear at promotional events in casinos. Is this anything that anybody should be worried about, particularly Steeler fans with one of their players involved?
Lord, one can only speculate at this point. Joe Lockhart, the NFL's executive vice president for communications and public affairs, said no one sought pre-approval. Had we been asked in advance if this was acceptable, we would have indicated that it was in direct violation of the gambling policy. So
you know what they say, ask for forgiveness. You know what's the line?
Yeah, it's better for ask for forgiveness or beg for forgiveness than ask for permission, right?
Yeah.
And I think Arthur Motes was spotted there. I think Marquise Pouncey was spotted there. Obviously, Marshawn Lynch, several other NFL players. I know Lamar, former NFL edge rusher Lamar Woodley, was in Vegas for the event as well. So, I don't know how this is. You know, my gut reaction is that, you know, maybe a few of these guys are going to get fined and nothing more. Boy, what a stink it will be if any of these guys are suspended for a game or two because of it.
Yeah, I find that impossible to believe. That would obviously be the extreme. And it's just, you know, a question of how much did they fine them. And obviously, look, everybody's this is not new news. It happened to Tony Romo when he was in an event a couple of years ago. But it looks the hypocrisy seems pretty extreme. When the league is willing to move a team to Vegas, it seems like we've moved beyond this type of stuff. And again, kind of, I've been a strong advocate. I think one of the worst, most ridiculous laws in this country is the fact that you can legally gamble in Las Vegas or Reno or different places. You can gamble on sports in Las Vegas, and you can't do it anywhere else in the country. And if people don't like gambling, that's fine. I mean, essentially, you know, fantasy football and all these other events, the daily draft, the daily fantasy games that the NFL is fully in bed with in terms of a sponsorship role and advertising, those are all gambling. If you don't like gambling, it's fine. My argument for gambling is that it all happens anyway. It all happens underground. Make it accessible. Make it like they do in the UK or any of the multiple other places in the world that it's legal, so that they can tax it and get the revenue from the tax side of things, so that these are legitimate businesses that people can operate. I mean, it just, to me, it's absolutely insane that you can do things in certain parts of this country and you can't do them in others. And that leads the list. And I go on my kind of every 2 month diatribe on my show, so you get a small taste of it here.
Yeah, what's next? You can't have promotional events in states or cities where marijuana is legalized. You know, I mean, same kind of thing, right? I mean, look, I can understand if you're out there promoting, you know, doing ads for Bodog or some of these other, or, you know, or a casino in general, I guess, you know, getting paid to represent and promote gambling. But I mean, this was an arm wrestling event, and had it taken place in Arizona and not in Las Vegas, we obviously wouldn't be talking about this. So yeah, you know, with the Raiders moving to Las Vegas, it does seem like a little bit of a double standard here. And on the flip side, should the players have looked into this, you know, and asked for permission, which they obviously would not have gotten? We'll have to see how all this plays out. And it's even a bigger story, I guess, because James Harrison seems to be at the center of it.
Absolutely, for us and our purposes. I really, look, I would be shocked, really honestly shocked, if the consequences are anything more than a, you know, a $25,000 fine, which might be kind of what they got, players got as a promotional appearance. I have no idea. It's filmed on by CBS, and it will be on. It will be aired by CBS. What's interesting here is the league says, you know, nobody asked for approval. Well, CBS obviously went through the process of getting the television rights to this thing, contacting multiple players, confirming their appearances, because obviously when they want to market this thing for television purposes, they need to have a hook, and having the hook is not just watching a bunch of guys arm wrestle. It's having, you know, famous NFL players. So I don't know if the league, you know, just played deaf on this whole thing, but it's hard to believe that somebody somehow in the league office didn't hear anything about this with one of their broadcast partners and a bunch of their players. So I think, you know, guys will get a slap on the wrist and move forward. And
we don't know yet if these guys were paid, you know, if they were just.
Well, of course they were paid, right?
I don't know. I mean, were they?
At worst, they were comped their weekend in Vegas, right?
One would maybe think, but we'll see. I think there's a lot of details that we don't know, so there's probably no sense us speculating about it.
Okay. In terms of league stuff, Dave, since you and I talked, obviously free agent movement has been at a minimum, and there have been some things that have happened. I guess the one thing that you and I didn't talk about was Zach Brown did sign with Washington, and the final terms of the contract came out, I guess, just last week, because we'd seen the original number 4.5, but it's actually significantly less than that. And I was reading an article over the weekend where a guy made an argument that Washington's best offseason move by far was, you know, signing Zach Brown. I think that I think if I remember it correctly, it was about half that, 2.3, 2.5, something like that, with incentives to get up to, you know, around 4.5. Are you at all surprised that the Steelers didn't bring Zach Brown in? And, you know, when he's making, you know, the money he's making is a lot closer to Vince Williams money than to Dont'a Hightower money.
Yeah, absolutely I am. He's one of the guys that I thought, why not kick the tires on? It doesn't appear as though the Steelers had any interest in him. I'm not sure if a phone call was lobbed off or anything, but, you know, it was surprising that Zach Brown remained unsigned, A, for as long as he was, and then B, the amount of money is really peanuts in the grand scheme of things. And this is a guy that led the NFL, or was second in the NFL in tackles last year. And a guy that I thought, you know, hey, if you could pick him up for $4 million or less a season, you know, would be a great kind of stopgap guy for the Steelers, especially being as how Lawrence Timmons is now gone and the team missed out on Dont'a Hightower. So maybe there's more to Brown's film or, you know, his character or something there, obviously. You know, turn the Steelers off, and, you know, now he's a Redskin, and I think they got a heck of a deal there. Look, if what do the Redskins have to lose now, right now, with a guy like Zach Brown?
I think you could say that just about any team. If you had a need there, what'd you have to lose? If you had some cap space, which virtually everybody does, to take it, you know, these 1-year deals. I mean, you know, I'll go so far as to say, you know, Terrell Pryor, that deal for the Redskins. You know, that is a can't miss deal on 1 year, $8 million, because you fill a gap because your Garcon and Jackson left. So you had a desperate need to get a guy. And so maybe it doesn't fill the hole long term, but you drafted Doxson last year. You didn't get anything out of him because he was hurt. Now he gets another year to develop. You can draft another receiver, fill the hole. This is what you do with 1 year guys. And the Steelers could have done that with Zach Brown and said, you know, if Vince doesn't work out or if Zach Brown's the guy, we've got depth now at that position. And, you know, we can wait till next year to go in the draft. Or if Zach Brown plays well, we can try to sign him longer term. A lot of things you can do. And just at that money with the cap space they have, just a little surprising that he was not brought in. And I guess, and look, this again, none of this is a commentary on Vince Williams, because I think Vince Williams is a pretty good football player. I think Dave, I'll speak for him for a second. I think Dave thinks he's a pretty good football player. There's not a ton of unknown because he's been around for 3 years, but, you know, having depth at that position, I don't feel like, you know, you really want LJ Fort, Stevie Johnson, Tyler Matakevich to necessarily be that guy if somebody goes down. So whether it's Zach Brown or it's Vince Williams, if somebody goes down, you've got a very capable replacement, whereas the other three guys are nice special teams players, but I'm not sure they're anything more than that.
Yeah, and I've talked about Vince quite a bit. I like Vince Williams. I'm glad Vince Williams is a Steeler. I'm just concerned about him being a guy that you think can go in and give you an upgrade over what Lawrence Timmons gave you. You know, I'm just not convinced he's a 1,000-snap guy for the Steelers, and I thought it would have been nice to have a guy like Zach Brown and Vince Williams both maybe playing – you know, complementary roles to one another. And, who, you know, it still wouldn't, if you would have been able to sign Zach Brown for, let's say, even $4 million a season, even if that all that $4 million was guaranteed, it still didn't prevent you, wouldn't prevent you from possibly addressing the position early in the draft. And if a guy can beat out, you know, either Vince Williams or Zach Brown, then great. And you know, you it just strengthens your team even more. I mean, let's face it, the Steelers have been looking at a few kind of inside linebacker slash nickelbacker types here in the pre-draft process. They brought Jared Davis from Florida in for a pre-draft visit. This is a kid that's expected to go maybe late first round, beginning of the second round, maybe slides a little bit further. Buda Baker, a safety out of Washington, who can you know play kind of that nickelbacker spot, maybe if you need him to. And Zach Cunningham, one of the top inside linebackers in this year's draft class out of Vanderbilt, was brought in for a pre-draft visit as well too. So while I appreciate Kevin Colbert saying after they lost out on Dante Hightower that, look, we're fine with Vince Williams, you know, they sure aren't giving, you know, outward appearance that, you know, they're not willing to at least try to upgrade that position.
Fair enough. And so I think that was the biggest free agent move that we've seen. I'm sure the Raiders, you know, I don't know if we talked Raiders, but we've hammered that discussion for a lot about you know, Raiders moving to Las Vegas. I love the move. I'm just trying to think of things on the Tony Romo going into the CBS booth. Dave, I will say from where I sit, and maybe I have a little better perspective than some people, or at least I have some experience having gone from a business where I had was doing something completely different and no training in the job. Let me be the first to say that. What I do isn't necessarily a piece of cake. It is not the most difficult thing in the world. Tony Romo is going into a job where his entire life since he's been in high school, if not earlier, has been, you know, focused around the game of football. So understanding the topic that he's going to be asked to speak about is he's got that part covered. And he's going to work with, you know, a guy who's at the head of his craft in Jim Nantz as his partner. He's got 6 months to train to get okay at it. People talk about people talking in your ear and all the things and hitting the points. And yeah, it might be he might not be perfect on week one, but goodness gracious, if somebody wants to use the argument that Bonnie Bernstein, her argument, which there's some legitimacy to that, you know, she felt bad for all the people who've worked their entire life to maybe ascend to the top spot. Life isn't fair, and you know. Tony Romo's a charismatic guy. I think he's going to kill this. I think he's going to be great at it. I hope, you know, Steeler fans, when he, you know, the first time he criticizes something about the Steelers, which inevitably will happen for all 32 teams, we don't hear the, oh, just like Sims, he hates the Steelers, blah, blah, blah. He was a Cowboy, blah, blah, blah. It's his job to be an analyst and to be critical. So I'm looking forward to seeing Tony Romo.
And do they really want a person that hasn't played the game being the color guy? You know, I enjoy the former players, and I never was a big
unless cook. It's me or you, Dave. Unless it's me or you,
right? Well, heck, I can't put two sentences together sometimes. So I would suck at have you ever done play by play?
I haven't, and I, you know, sign me up when my buddy Bill Hillgrove decides that, you know, he wants to move on to greener pastures, and hopefully that's a long time down the road. I'd be happy to take his spot.
Yeah, I'm not sure I could do play by play or color. I'd give it a go, I think, but look, you know, I think I was never a big Phil Simms fan. I think his preparation, his lack of preparation at times showed, and I think that's a big component of this. Look, know what you're talking.
By the way, that's 100% of the job. It is just like anything else, preparation. You know, like I've seen people ask me about my show, and I say, look, if there's a day where something comes up and I have to go do something before my show that is unexpected, can I wing it on a show? Sure. Could I wing a week on my show? Maybe. But once, you know, it's daily work. I mean, you've got to understand what's going on. And those guys, it's, you have to have watched that team. You know, if you haven't seen that team, you've got to watch four game tapes of what's going on and take notes and be in those production meetings and know what's going on. Because otherwise you're cheating the fans. You're not bringing value to it. And that's what it's all about.
And, you know, you look at a situation, I hate to call out Willie McGinnis from the NFL Network, but what a horrible job.
It was funny. You made me laugh, man. I saw you get him on Twitter, you know, a month ago.
Yeah.
It was just like, dude.
I mean, it wasn't just it wasn't just a month ago either. It was like, several weeks into the season when they played, against the Ravens, he said something to the effect of, Cameron Hayward and Stephon Tuitt should both dominate in this game. And Hayward was already out with his injury. And I think that might've been the game that Tuitt was going to miss because of, sprained knee or something. It cracked me up, the lack of preparation, how he could say something like that on a pregame show. I mean, it just screamed, you know, not being prepared. And
yeah, LaDainian Tomlinson's got a little of that as well, right?
Right, right. And look, I think Tony will do great in the job as well too. And I really look forward to it. And it will be interesting. I think CBS is scheduled to carry the Thanksgiving game with Dallas this year, so that's one to kind of look forward to. But I have no issue with the move, and it just sounds like right now that Sims has been pushed back to the B crew, if you will.
Yeah, and you know, we'll see how this all plays out. Fringes of Steeler rosters. Just curious. I don't know the answer to this. They're allowed to have 90 guys. You know, we're going to start this process when they have, you know, voluntary workouts, or they start next Monday, or maybe Tuesday, because Sunday's Easter. So, guys will be reporting. We'll go through the draft. Do you know the number just off the top of your head, or do you have a list of how many guys the Steelers have under contract right now? Are they in the 70s, mid-70s, something like that?
Oh, they're higher than that. The last I looked, it was like, 81 or 82 players under contract. If you hold on just a minute here, let's see. 81 currently under contract for the Steelers, according to the NFLPA site. And it looks like the Steelers and the Jets are tied for the league lead in players under contract right now. I mean, a lot of teams, there's some teams that only, like the Buffalo Bills, it's showing 61 players under contract. So, you know, Steelers have nine short of the league maximum this time of year. Now what is that?
It means 10 guys are going to get cut, between now and the Sunday night of the draft.
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, you have 8 draft picks, so that puts you right there. And then the undrafted free agents, how many?
Which you're going to have 10 of them.
Yeah,
I guarantee it.
9 or 10 of those. So that means some of these fringe guys, some of these guys that were signed to futures contracts aren't long for right now.
Yeah, that's what I was curious to see, how many guys were. You know, so we'll have some transactions between here and there for the Steelers. And in fact, I'm a little surprised the number's that high. Obviously, I guessed significantly lower than that. It'll be interesting to see how they pair that. Some of that will come between with these offseason workouts that start the 17th. They'll get a chance to look at some guys. And if any guy who's a fringe guy comes in out of shape or, you know, doesn't show up for these workouts, you shake their hand. And it's just curious to me why a team like the Bills, you know, you would think most teams would take advantage of the opportunity to at least control guys, you know, for the minimum that you have to pay them during this time of year, if anything. I don't even know if they get paid anything other than, you know, maybe a workout, you know, workout fee for the weeks they come in. So I don't know why you wouldn't have more guys under contract than less. That would be an interesting question to ask somebody in a front office. Maybe I'll ask Matt Williamson that today on my show, who used to work with the Browns. You'd think you'd want to have, you know, why not keep 20 extra guys under contract if it's not costing you anything?
Yeah, and I can understand both sides of it. Why get people into the program that you know aren't going to last? But on the flip side, it gives you several weeks, to see the commitment level to some of these fringe players, if you will.
Another name in the folder, right?
Right. Who knows? You might need some of these guys as part of your practice squad or something later on during the season. So at least you want to know, where they are physically, what they can do, and obviously some of these guys aren't probably going to even make it to the initial rookie mini camp, but you could get them on the board and probably in some. I assume now there's we've reached a point where you can have where coaches can talk to the players, right?
That's good. You know what? That's a good question. I don't know that answer.
Because there is the stipulation from off season.
It might be until Monday.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember what it seems like. Look, Ben Roethlisberger's already been in the facility watching film. Now, I don't know if he can have direct conversation.
It's interesting when Mike said Kevin said he hadn't talked to Ben, and Mike said he's talked to Ben a bunch, but not about football. So maybe Mike was making sure he didn't skirt that line.
Maybe that's the case. So there's got to be some pros and cons to maybe not having these extra eight or nine guys in your facility, and what those pros and cons are, I do not know.
Okay, Dave, let's talk a little draft, and I don't want to kind of get over too much ground that you and Alex have covered. I know you had your latest mock out. Let me just throw some things at you that interest me and get your thoughts on it. And then we can go a couple different places, and then I'll give you kind of some names for my mock at some of these positions. If we assume at the edge rushing position that obviously Myles Garrett and Solomon Thomas are going to be off the board, Garrett's the consensus number one, Solomon might go two, but certainly he'll go in the top 10. There are reasonably probably seven or eight names that can go anywhere from, say, 9 or 10, when Cincinnati picks, to be available when the Steelers pick at 30. And I'll just read you this list of names. And, you don't have to remember them all. I know you know them all off the top of your head. But just for our listeners, just in no particular order here, you've got Derek Barnett of Tennessee, who's seen as maybe the best football player, at least productivity-wise in college, with maybe not the greatest athlete. You've got T.J. Watt. We've talked a bit about him. Obviously, J.J.'s younger brother at Wisconsin, only 1 year as a starter. You got Tack McKinley, who's got the torn labrum out of UCLA, a young guy, 21 years old, kind of elite athleticism. You got two guys in Carl Lawson and Charles Harris, Dave, that I know you and I have talked about, maybe some differing opinions there, both out of the SEC. Tyus Bowser, a guy that I hadn't even really seen or heard much about until Kuiper put him in his mock a month ago, a guy from Houston. Terrell Basham out of Ohio, a little bit of at the MAC, a little different level of competition. Taco Charlton out of Michigan, I think we've covered him. And very, very different views on Taco. Some people don't even think he's a top 50 type of guy on the board. Others think he'll go in the middle of the first round. And then Derek Rivers out of Youngstown State, who we've covered pretty extensively. Are there two or three guys out of that group of maybe eight that you like, and two or three guys that you don't? I think it's nine, actually. A lot of them are going to bunch in the middle, but if you had to say, are there two guys that separate themselves at the top and two guys that you wouldn't touch?
Well, I think Derek Barnett is an interesting guy. I mean, depending on the mock drafts that you look at, he's going, top 10 to somewhere in the bottom of the first round. So Mike Tomlin and the whole crew was at the Tennessee Pro Day. Now, were they there to see, other guys? Do they think there's a legitimate chance that a guy like Barnett falls? Who knows? But he is a guy that I would expect to be drafted somewhere in the first round. Carl Lawson is easy to connect the dots. The thing with Lawson, the more that I've studied Lawson and then the more that I've studied the other edge rushers in this class, I think Carl Lawson is a guy that's not top 20 for sure. I think he maybe comes into the conversation perhaps 25th overall all the way to like 40th overall. His lack of, his lack of height, his lack of arm length, his lack of elite bend, if you will, and his lack of productivity against the run. And then throw in on top of that, he has a few injury histories in his past, make him a tough player to say that he's a slam dunk, first round guy. I mean, he's obviously going to come off the board, in my opinion, in the top, 60 picks or so, even though, I mocked him to the Steeler. I think there's one of a few guys, David, that of this edge rusher class, and most notably Carl Lawson, Derek Rivers, and T.J. Watt, one of those guys I think has a chance of falling to the Steelers' pick in the second round. Who knows? Maybe even two of them. T.J. Watt, definitely a productive guy in his one season at Wisconsin, but the Steelers like guys that have productivity in their history, not just one-year guys, if you will. So there's a lot of projection that goes on with Watt. Derek Rivers, you want to talk about a guy that's kind of been polarizing, I think, with the masses, is Derek Rivers. I mean, you see him, some people say this guy's a slam dunk top 20 pick, and then you look at Todd McShay's big board that was posted by Adam Schefter on Twitter the other day, and he has him as a third round guy along with Lawson. So this is a deep class, and I think one of these guys ends up falling. Now, Takaris McKinley, I don't know how you view him right now. I'm kind of hot and cold on him at times. I've mostly been kind of cool on him. I worry about that shoulder injury and the amount of time that he's going to miss more than anything, I think, at this point in stage right now. Charles Harris is a guy that Steelers showed up at that pro day. He's a guy that could, some people have had going top 10 to late first round as well. So I don't know. What's your overall question, and did I answer it?
Do one or two guys. You answered, I think, who might be there and who you think is at the bottom of the list. I don't know if you answered who you think is at the top of the list.
Well, I think Myles Garrett and Derek Barnett when you talk about.
I took Garrett and Thomas out of the equation. So.
Okay. Solomon Thomas, I don't view him as a true edge. He's more of a guy I think best suited to play almost like who's the kid out of Pitt?
Juan Price. Aaron Donald.
Yeah, Aaron Donald. That kind of three tech kind of penetrator, one gap guy, if you will. Reddick.
If you had the Steelers pick at 30, and the only three guys off the board are Garrett, Thomas, and Barnett, who are you taking?
Wow. I don't know. I sure would. Do I have to take an edge then?
You don't have to know. No, well, let's say you got to take an edge for this question.
All right. If you have to take an edge, then I'd probably lean to Rivers, I think.
Okay.
Just because he measures up, outside of the small school production or the small school label, everything else he does extremely well, plays against the run well. I think he can get after the quarterback and all, not the injury history that Lawson has. So I think it would be Rivers who I'd be tempted to take there. Now, with that said, we know the Steelers normally go Power 5 conferences with their first round pick. So, it's a tough predicament for sure.
Okay. Let me go to the corner side of things. And, Tabor with his poor 40 times, both at the, at the combine and at his pro day, is a guy who's dropped in people's rankings. Have you had a chance to look? Let me ask you about a couple. Well, let me ask you about first about Sidney Jones, because he's a guy who's kind of fallen off the radar a bit with the knee injury, the corner from Washington. And I had said, look, if Sidney Jones just happens to be there with the comp pick in the third round, I don't think you can pass him up no matter what you've done prior. Let me ask you this. There were a lot of people who were mocking Sidney Jones still after the injury as a late first round or a high second round pick. That seems to be not the flavor of the month anymore. Any thoughts on where he goes, and would you be willing at some point, whether it's the second or third round, to consider him?
I think any team should probably consider him in the second round. I worry about that Achilles injury and, you know, how he's going to be able to rebound from that. You know, if it was a straight, you know, MCL tear or something like that, I'd probably be less hesitant. But I worry about those corners with those, you know, with that Achilles injury there. But even so, you know, the risk obviously is a lot less in the second round and even into the third. So he really, you know, depending on how you were able to fill your needs and all, you know, in a draft in the first two rounds, and where you were at organization wise, if you could wait on a guy like Sidney Jones, definitely if he's there in the third, I think you'd have to consider it.
Okay, let me throw two other names at you: Roswell Douglas and Fabian Moreau. Out of West Virginia and out of UCLA, Moreau's injured as well. Thoughts on those two guys?
Yeah, I haven't watched a lot of Fabian, to be honest with you, since his injury. I'm currently going through a lot of these cornerbacks now and posting these, you know, these career highlight pass breakup videos so people can see how these guys won at the college level. And I've gotten through quite a bit of these. I think I've done Lattimore, Conley, just got done doing Tre'Davious White out of LSU, Tankersley I've done, and I'm trying to think, I did Rasul Douglas, his interceptions, and it seems like I did one other. Oh, Kevin King out of Washington as well, too. Rasul Douglas, I think he's going to go a little bit higher than maybe what most people think. Maybe a late second round guy. Carnell Lake was at his pro day, so, you know, I think he fits what the Steelers do. I don't consider Rasul Douglas, you know, a top, let's say, 40 or even 50 guy in this year's draft. Kevin King is going to really be interesting to see where Kevin King winds up going in this draft, because his tape, you know, his tape matches up. He's got the length and the athleticism and the combine measurables. So is he going to be?
He could go at 30. I mean, he could go right there.
Yeah, the thing is with him though is it doesn't appear as though that the Steelers have had, you know, much of any interest in any of those Washington guys. You know, we don't. There was no reports, I don't think, of Colbert or Tomlin being at that Washington Pro Day. Now, it doesn't mean that they weren't. And obviously, they could have talked to a few of these guys, you know, at you know, obviously during the combine and some of these other all-star games and all like that. But it just, you know, there's no evidence that there's a lot of interest in these guys, and it'll be equally interesting to see with these final pre-draft visits taking place if any of these guys are brought in.
Right, and they still have about half the pre-draft visits left, so there's certainly room for some more guys. Okay, let's go to the running back position. Do you have a view one way or the other on one clearly being better than the other or not being available when the Steelers pick, say, in the third round of Marlon Mack and Wayne Gallman? Mack out of South Florida that we've talked a little bit about, and Gallman, who I think people who follow college football certainly are aware of. He was the running back for Clemson, who's, you know, productive running back in college, big-time program.
Yeah, I put Gallman in my latest mock draft, David, and I think he was a carryover from my first mock draft. I like him. I like Marlon Mack as well, too. Now, I think he had some fumbling issues there, but James Saxon was at that pro day to see him perform. And, you know, Samaje Perine out of Oklahoma is another guy that I think you could wedge in there with those two as well.
Happy with any of those guys with either of your third round picks?
Yeah, I wouldn't throw the TV at all with any of those three guys, say the third round, with either one of those third round picks. Marlon Mack, I might be overvaluing Marlon Mack maybe just a tad by a round. But look, I mean, the later of those two, you know, third round picks are is almost fourth round anyway. So if you had to wait, and let's say a guy like Gallman and Samaje Perine were off the board at that time, well, then you know, Mac would make sense there. So no, I wouldn't have any issue with any of those three guys.
Let me throw a last name at you. Safety is a position that obviously has gotten a lot of attention because the Steelers have brought guys in like Buda Baker, who could, you know, hypothetically, Buda Baker can be your slot corner for a period of time here, depending on how things develop this year. If you were to draft him and then, you know, take over for Mike Mitchell, or depending on what you want to do, it allows maybe some flexibility to play Sean Davis near the line of scrimmage. You know, I've been a big advocate of the Steelers playing more dime here going forward, which they did at the beginning of last year, but they didn't do as much at the end. I think, you know, they don't have the perfect personnel now, but they can get there pretty quickly if they hit on a couple picks. The guy I want to ask you about would be much more of an Ed Reed type player. I don't know where he falls at all. It's Marcus Williams of Utah. Not a great tackling safety, but a you know, one of the things that's obviously attractive about Douglas from West Virginia is he had 8 interceptions. Marcus Williams is a guy who can go get the football and play that center field type. Eventually, you'd look at him as Mike Mitchell's replacement. Where is he a second round guy? Is there a chance he goes the back of the first? Does he fall to the third? Do you have any sense of where he is?
I tell you, you know, the little study that I think we have a breakdown of him up on the site. Now, I have not gone intensively through his game tape, but you know, from what I've seen and the other stuff that I've read on him, he is more of a single high guy, a deep safety type, not a guy I don't think that you want, you know, doing, you know, dual action of playing in the box and
right,
and deep and all. Where I am on him right now is a round 3 or round 4 guy, to be quite honest with you. I would lean more to round 4.
If he were there with that comp pick in the third round, you know, because I look at that a little bit of as a luxury pick, I think that'd be great value to get there. I'm curious. I think he'll be off the board. I think he'll be off the board early in the third round. But I'm interested just as a guy, not necessarily, oh, the Steelers should target this guy, but just as a guy, I'm very interested to see where he ends up going. All right.
You know, Marcus May is a guy out of Florida that the Steelers, you know, seem to have some interest in, who might be rated below Marcus Williams on several lists. But I think Marcus May gives you more of an all-around, more versatile guy than a guy like Marcus Williams. So of those two Marcuses, I would tend to go with May before I would Marcus Williams. And in fact, I think I'd mock May in my latest offering as well, too, to the Steelers, either round 3 or round 4. Don't remember exactly which one.
Yeah, and obviously Buda Baker is a different pedigree coming out of college than those guys, and does give you great flexibility. The thing about Buda Baker, for those who, you know, were, say the Steelers want to go with a defensive back in the first round, it's just not necessarily the prototypical size that you're looking for. He is, you know, big enough to play slot corner and be your safety. You know, he'd be a good addition, obviously, to the Steelers. He's a good football player. You just wonder if the height at 5'11" is going to, and we can debate forever, you know, what's the difference between how important is 5'11 versus 6 foot versus 6'1 for these corners. But he's, you know, he is an awfully good athlete who can do some things, be good in run support and run with some of the guys, you know, the tight ends and the running backs. So Dave, I hope the Steelers don't draft him, because there's going to be some conflict. But if they do draft him, and you know, you hate to use elite players to compare anybody who's coming out of the draft, but the versatility and the things that he might allow Sean Davis to do and he can do gives you kind of somebody who can be in the Troy Polamalu role of, you know, I think Sean Davis can do a lot of things. And if they can find somebody else to kind of help him back there and make sure that, you know, things are covered, I'd like to see Sean Davis have more and more flexibility here going forward to play in the box and blitz the quarterback, which he did some last year. Because I think he's going to be just dynamite.
Who's that?
Sean Davis. Oh, yeah. So in the drafting of Buda Baker would maybe allow you to do some of those things.
Yeah, I would definitely want Buda Baker before a guy like Jabril Peppers. I would worry about a guy like Jabril Peppers having to play a lot in the box, to be quite honest with you, from what I've studied so far. And Buda Baker, you want to talk about another guy where people are kind of, is he a round one guy or is he a round three guy? Buda Baker kind of, from what I've seen, has that kind of polarizing effect on people right now as well. The thing is, if you spend, a first or second round draft pick on a guy like Buda Baker, you're doing it because you're going to be able to get him on the field, right?
Yeah, I think he would be as kind of immediately on the field as anybody. I mean, I think if you draft him, he's your slot corner. I mean, that I don't even know that, we've only seen Mike kind of pencil one guy in, and that was Ryan Shazier. But if you get Buda Baker, he may just, he may be your first corner on the field. That wouldn't be great for William Gay's career. But if you can get him, if you went edge rusher in the first round and he's sitting there in the second round, I mean, you run the card up.
It would be tough not to.
We haven't talked at all about the quarterback situation because we've banged it around so hard for 8 months. Just any surprise that they brought Pat Mahomes in?
No, I guess not. I mean, they're doing their due diligence, it seems, at this position. I mean, they brought in Joshua Dobbs as well. Davis Webb is supposedly going to be one of these guys that they look hard and heavy at as well. Kai has already been brought in. So, unless Alex is thrown out there that maybe this is just a dry run for the Steelers ahead of next year. Or, you can look at this thing and say, look, regardless of Landry Jones being re-signed, this team's going to add another young quarterback to the room this year. And one would think that if they're going to do that, it's going to be within the first four rounds of this draft, and it could end up being I don't think Mahomes falls to the Steelers, outside of the second round. I mean, heck, a lot of people say Mahomes is going to go somewhere in the first. I will be surprised if Mahomes ends up being with the Steelers. I think for that to happen, it would have to be a second round pick or a third round pick. I just don't see him being on the board then. So basically it comes down to maybe if they do go that position, do you take a guy like Brad Kaya maybe with the second of two third round picks, or will he be there in the fourth? And maybe you wait even another round and hope a guy like Josh Dobbs or Davis Webb falls to you.
Hey, Steeler fans, you've heard us talking about our buddy Craig Oxane, and the mortgage process sometimes could be more challenging than Spellin Roethlisberger, who looks like he's going to be the Steelers quarterback in 2017. How about that? Let our man Craig guide you through this sometimes daunting mortgage process to help you score the home of your dreams, even in Kalamazoo. If you're considering buying or refinancing a home now or in the future, please give Craig Oxane a call. He's an experienced, nationally recognized lender that can help you achieve the dream of home ownership. Craig Oxane, you can call him today at 855-961-7763. That's 855-961-7763. You can email Craig at craig@blackandgoldlending.com or apply online at www.blackandgoldlending.com. First Advantage Mortgage Company, NMLS 2551, NMLS 320399, Illinois Residential Mortgage Licensee, Equal Housing Lender.
All right, when you look at my mock draft, David, Tre'Davious White going to the Steelers in the first round. Knowing what you might know about him already. Alex and I talked the other day. He checks a lot of boxes off already when it comes to potentially being the Steelers' first round pick. However, I'm not sure if you saw the study that Alex put up this morning of what the Steelers normally look for in cornerbacks in the draft when it comes to measurables and those kind of things. Tre'Davious White didn't make that list. But outside of that, had a very productive career at LSU. Only had 6 interceptions, but had like another 34 pass breakups. A guy that impeccable character as far as I can see.
Yes, yeah. Great character guy. My only concern about Tre'Davious White is bulk. He's a slender guy. You know, that's not the end of the world. Artie Burns isn't exactly the bulkiest guy, and you like the height, you like the speed, and if you think he's going to fill out, I mean, the character thing's a big positive. The Steelers, they obviously Carnell Lake was down at that pro day along with I think Mike and Kevin maybe were both down at LSU.
Correct.
Those guys play. They've been a stout defense. The Steelers have, tons of interaction with the school over the years. I don't know what their relationship is with Coach O, but I guess I would lean against, but certainly I'm willing to give them the benefit of the doubt if he thinks he's the guy, because he does, like you said, he checks the boxes of, 6'1" or whatever he is. And a guy who can play both press and zone coverage. So, in that respect, he's attractive.
And he plays outside. He plays in the slot. 5'11¼", 190.
Oh yeah, I thought he was a little bigger than that.
Yeah, and 5'11¼", 192. So not as
tall and slender as I just said.
Right. I tell you, one guy that I don't think's getting enough run as a potential first round guy overall is Tankersley out of Clemson. David, the more I watch other corners and go back to his tape, he's long and he's fast, and he made a lot of plays at Clemson, comes from a big time program. He's a guy that I think somehow gets shoehorned in there as maybe the fourth corner off. How many corners do you think come off the board before the Steelers pick, and will White be one of them?
I think three go off before the Steelers pick would be my guess.
And you would think both the Ohio State corners would be.
Yeah, but I think for sure, in the kid from Florida.
Tabor, what about the kid from
Alabama? No, not Tabor, the other kid. Drawing a blank. Give me a second here. Quincy Wilson. Quincy
okay. Wilson. All right. So
that leaves you Humphrey and Tankersley.
And White.
Yeah, and White right there. So So those are my three: the two Ohio State guys and Quincy Wilson. And then you might have your choice of the fourth corner.
Do you think the Steelers, we don't know how their big board's going to stack up, but if they viewed guys like Watt and Lawson and Rivers as second round guys, but had guys like White or Tankersley as first round guys. I mean, I guess what I'm getting at is, could you see the Steelers taking a corner in the first round?
Sure, I can see it happening. Again, for the millionth time, the first three picks are edge, corner, and running back, which running back most likely to be the third round pick, somewhere one of the two third round picks. So, I've been saying it since the day the curtain came down in New England, edge and corner, first two picks, however you want to do it.
And the thing with Tankersley too, let's not forget the Steelers, not that they wouldn't have been there anyway, being as how the program and all the athletes coming out of there, they were at the Clemson Pro Day, Kevin Colbert, Mike Tomlin, and we're at that pro day, and while we don't know for sure, one would maybe think that Carnell Lake was there, though we don't have, I don't think there was any reports on that, but I just because my uncertainty when it comes to guys like Rivers and Lawson and T.J. Watt, that's what made me go Tre'Davious White in the first round. Now, I could easily see it being an edge guy in Rivers or Lawson with that first round pick as well too. I just when it comes to Watt, 1 year production and his sacks weren't overly impressive. Not that should be the only thing that you judge a player by. I just still feel that Watt's more of a second round guy, and Lawson, I've talked a lot about saying, if he's not a second round guy, it's because he's just the bottom end of the first with him. But we'll have some more pre-draft visitors in the Steelers building probably as early as today being Monday. So it'll be interesting to track the rest of these guys throughout the rest of the process. And, we already know, at least we think we know, where all Kevin Colbert and Mike Tomlin have been. Will the Steelers draft a guy in the first round that Colbert did not visit their pro day?
I will answer it like this. No, they won't draft a guy in the first round that Kevin Colbert didn't have a conversation with. Now, whether that means the combine, the pro day, or a visit, I'll just leave it at that.
Okay. Well, that's pretty wide open because they talked
to – it's going to be a couple hundred guys.
Because they talked to 60 at the combine and every one of them at the Senior Bowl and probably quite a few of them at the East-West Shrine and yada, yada. So you hedged on me.
I did. Just getting rolling back into form.
I hear you. Okay, and for those of you asking about Dave T, look, we're trying to effort Dave T, but I remember his wife had some medical issues a year ago when we talked, and I really haven't seen. Have you seen Dave T writing anywhere? I forgot to check.
I have not.
So I don't know if he's even active right now in all this. So, yes, we hear your request to get Dave T on. I have reached out to him once and have not heard back from him. Obviously, if we can get Dave T on this podcast once in the coming weeks, we will try to do so. But at this point, I can't guarantee any of you that will happen. So in the meantime, I hope you follow me on Twitter at Steelers Depot. Follow David Todd on Twitter at David M. Todd. Follow the show at Terrible Podcast. Email the show, theterriblepodcast@gmail.com. If you want to donate to the cause, you can go to SteelersDepot.com, find that donate button, upper right navigational bar. And until Friday, when it will be either David and myself or Alex and myself.
Yep, we'll be inside 2 weeks to the draft and get things rolling. So also, we're going to do our draft project again this year. We relaxed on it last year. And the way we'll do it is there are obviously going to be 32 picks in the first round. And you give us a list of the players drafted in the first round. And rather than say, give us a list of 50 players and see how many you get, you give us a list of as many players as you want. But the object is to make sure every player drafted in the first round is on your list. So the winner would be the person who gets all 32 picks in the fewest number of picks.
I think we should cut it off at 40 or 45 again.
All right, we'll cut it off at 45, and if you want to do it in less to give yourself a tie-breaking advantage, you can. So, you're right, Dave. Let's do it at 40. So 40 names. You got to list all the players who will be taken in the first round, and if you can do it in less, God bless you. And we will, as a tiebreaker, picks 33 through 40. That will be the tiebreaker if we're tied. So put your last eight picks in order of how you think they're going to go. So whoever is highest on that, that'll make it. We'll give you an email so that we can sort this out. We might actually get my nephew or somebody to put this in a spreadsheet to make it a lot easier on draft day so we can figure out the answer very quickly. So start thinking about that. We want to get this. We want to see if we can get, a bunch of entries to this. And you can show your draft knowledge by winning this contest. And we'll come up with a great Steelers Depot hat and T-shirt like we give all our winners.
All right.
So, as always, thanks for listening to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave.